Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now for a metaphorical long car trip where we don't really go anywhere. We just drive around town for an hour looking for this army surplus store where you think you're going to buy this hat you saw on TV, but we end up going over to the side of the road, running out into this field and falling into a hole where we discover a whole world of people who are shaped like 80s zines, and you befriend Media Sabotage Zine. Oh, what a world we live in. What an adventure we're going to have. So, come on, hop in my car. Vroom, vroom. Who's got the keys to the Jeep? Oh, my goodness. It's so good to be with you, my friends, today. What a blessing that we can be together at all. I think we're meant to be together. Well, to quote Eminem Stan, what's this stuff about us meant to be together? That type of stuff will make me not want us to meet each other. I understand that. I don't mean it in a creepy way. I mean, isn't that one thing that we need in life is a little companionship to fight the loneliness, to let us know that there's someone else fighting this struggle. And they also have piles or something eating it. What's piles? We've talked about it. Just look it up. Ask your grandfather. Say, Granddad, do you got piles? He goes, I got piles of this. And he'll slap you like that. Old grandpappy. My granddad had a false hand. So he would just say, go slap yourself with it. He never wore it. Pick yourself up, slap yourself repeatedly with it. Say, oh, grandfather, you're kidding. He goes, I don't kid. I want to go on one of these car trips with you where we just hop in the car and we go someplace without a goal. Hey, it's a metaphor for life. You know it. Well, it's a metaphor for a story, a Taoist perspective of life, where the journey is what's important and not getting there. So say, oh, Shuangsa went to see his friend Lao Tzu, and he got to the front door, and he turned around and left. And why is that? And they say, oh, because it was the journey. And they go, no, because there was an odor. He's going, man, I remember the last time I was here, and his shack is nasty. I'm not going in. So I think there's that. But it really is about, so don't confuse what you observe with what is necessarily the reason for something. Oh, everybody is showing you a mask. That's why I like the first thing I go up to people is I grab them at their hairline and I start to try to peel because I've seen too much Mission Impossible. And I'm thinking that must be Rolling Hand. This is my Rolling Hand and that's yours right there. And he always had a mask on, say, I'm going to put on a rubber face, and instantly I'll be Nehemiah Persoff, who is a dictator of many countries in the 60s. I don't know if you know that. Oh, I like to learn about history and science and other things. All these subjects that we learn in school turn out to be applicable, like P.E. Oh, I learned so much in P.E., mainly about human nature, not about sports. But what a great social experiment that is. I think until you really see people in various states of undress being bullied, you don't understand what it is to be a person. I wonder if this went on with Neanderthals and all. Were they even wearing pants? I don't think we know. I don't know that they found any Neanderthal pants. I picture them all in jeans. Don't you? Neanderthals only, just like jeans. And the ladies would wear the same jeans and topless. And it wasn't, nobody was hung up about that back then. They said, we're just going to go do some geometric cave drawings. I think they found some recently. So the old cave drawings by our ancestors, the Smiths and the Walcutts or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the name. I'm going to talk a little about ancestry today. I'm interested in it, in pedigrees too, because I've met some horses. I really did met, and if you know horses, you realize they're all individuals, and some of them are asses. Oh, no, literally, I mean some of them are donkeys. No, I meant jerky. Hey, we all have our reasons. Who knows what's happened to us? And that's why I'll give you a clue of that about the horses. But I really wanted to take a long car ride around town with you just because of the air. Crank up that air. Oh, you don't have air. Well, that's cool. Crank up that oppressive, hard-to-breathe car heat. Put that on. Let's roll up the windows. Let's go for it. Let's not even care. and drive around like that. What I mainly want to do is I want to look. I've seen these storefront churches. You know what I'm saying? I drive by these strip malls, and I see there'll be a little church in there, and I'm thinking, I want that. I don't want it to be a specific religion. I think that would ruin it. But just like a little, I'd like a little house of worship. It's hard to say. I said house, didn't I say house? Let's just call it house or something. It's house of worship all mushed together. It's a mashup. That's what I say of the show sometimes, too, if I misspeak. I'm mashing up language. I said potato and box together like that, so I'd save time. I don't have to say potato box. Is there such a thing? You know, our imaginations are like a real estate agent. We go to it and we say, hey, here's my price range. And they say, I'm going to show you three houses. Your favorite will be the one slightly out of your price range. That's weird. How does that work? You always do that. Here's one you could live in. Here's one you could never live in. And here's your dream house. Whoops. It's a little expensive, but I think you could afford it if you lose your rational thought. I think so. I think so, too. And then they get you all excited about it. I'm talking about imagination, not realtors, which I think is like a trademark registered thing. Can I even say it? Realtor? I'd have to say real agent or something. They say in England, they say estate agent. I don't think they say real. So I'm going to get one of them estate agents. No, that means something different here. What? I don't know. Maybe nothing. Here's what I need in a storefront church. I need it to be empty, because if it still has like a juice machine or something, it's going to make more work for my congregants. I don't really have any, and I don't want it to be about me. It's not about me. It's about our shared belief in nothing, I think, would it be about. Because I want to say, well, you don't believe in anything? I do, but I feel like that's not anybody's business, especially to get together on a day of rest. Oh, let's give it a rest, right? That's what the day of rest should be. Let's give all our opinions a rest, even about the nature of the universe, and let's just be together. I think a church service should begin like this. Everybody get their coffee. Did everybody get their donuts? Also, I've got a bass guitar here, which I think is going to be good for my storefront church. Say, why not an organ? Organs I got. But I think a bass guitar would be good, especially if I get to hooping. I'm going to need some accompaniment like that. It's just get people excited. I want to get hearts uplifted so that we're all floating. We're floating to the ceiling like Charlie Wonka Factory, where they come up to the, I don't know if you've seen this. It's horrifying. But some of them float up to the ceiling. And you say, oh, that's like Mary Poppins. I saw that too. Well, Ed Wynn floated up to the ceiling. They get full of gas or something. Except on the Charlie Wonka ceiling, there's a fan. It's going to kill him. And it does. It kills the man. The man was from Chico and the Man. You know him as Jack Albertson's. A lot of these are actors in these memories we have, these old stories. You know, your mother would tell you a story on your bedside. She'd go, I'm going to tell you the story of Treasure Island. And you go, I close my eyes. I can't not see Wallace Berry. Oh, didn't all children say that? A lot of times when children close their eyes, they say, I see, who am I seeing? And the parent will say, if you're like a normal child, you see Wallace Berry when you close your eyes. How about that? And his son, Noah Berry. You go, no, that's his nephew. I would say, hey, you've mentioned the Rockford Files thing again, Hardy. You do that a lot. Maybe it ought to be the Church of Rockford. People like to do that popular culture, make a church of something. That was got very pop. People have reacted against the church while loving it. And I don't. When I say church, I mean synagogue, mosque, any house of worship or a satanic church or anything. What people like to do is they like to go somewhere and have it be like a show, a little like a circus or an opera, but spookier. So it may or may not be real. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know why more people don't take a little something, something to make it, because then you could make it seem super as unreal as you wanted if you mess with your brain. They've never gotten very creative about communion, but there's all sorts of things you could put in there. It's like, oh, Lord, oh, I'm feeling something now. But the best way, I think, to get yourself happy is sugar. Now, anything that makes you have everybody content, having a donut and coffee, and they're sitting there in their folding chairs, and I'd come up and I'd say, is everybody comfortable? And they'd say, yes, hearty, in unison. The first couple of times, it's natural. Then it becomes part of the dogma. So every time Hardy comes out, you got to say, he'll ask about the donuts, and you got to go, yes, Hardy, like that. But the first time it was spontaneous and we all had joy. Maybe nothing should be perpetuated. Maybe everything should be a one-off. No sequels. How about that? No sequels for anything. So you go together, we had a great time. We got a big room, and we sang songs, and we talked about important things. Let's do that every Sunday. No, why? It's never going to be the same again. That's like reunions. People do that all the time. Remember that first couple of reunions were good, and then, remember, one of us drank themselves to death. I think it was me, about that fifth time. And you can never go home back. Why is that? Why can't you travel back in time, Hardy? You do it all the time. I have a machine. I'm saying you can't do it without, and it's a very complicated machine. Granted, it's made out of a dryer and some other things. But I don't recommend it because there's no point. Why go back and do something you've already done? Why not forge ahead? Make something new. Always look for new things unfolding. You'll notice that, let's say you lose a friend and you go, I'd like to look them up again. And you dig them up out of the ground. You're going to be shocked how much they've changed. Move forward. Look ahead. Try to, it's not too late. Whip it. Most of Devo is gone too. People always want reunions, crave things. I want to see that band like when I was young. I won't be young again. Look down. Look down at yourself. Look at that. Is that the body of a 15-year-old? Oh, whoops. Move the body of the 15-year-old, and now look at your own body. Is that your own body? Say, yes, it looks like an older man. It is an older man. And I'm sorry that time has moved on. And someday you will be laying there, dead, moldering in the grave, and you'll be thinking, that's right, nothing, because you're dead. So why don't we think now? Let's have fun now. Not necessarily fun. We don't always have to have fun. That's so pressure, have fun, especially at parties. So is everybody having fun? No, not necessary. I'm having not pain, or I'm having not boredom. That's fine. That's not. If I push it to fun, I'm worried that I'll be disappointed or something. Or maybe your idea of fun, like Jungo or whatever, you pull out the little game or some board games. To me, I can't do it. I can't do it. I say, I'll play Clue with you if we use real weapons. And then I'll do it. And I get the gun. Oh, I get the candlestick. Go ahead. That's one of those things, unlike Kung Fu. So which would win in a fight? Wing Chun or Sancho? So candlestick. See, all weapons aren't equal. And some are more useful than others. Like you can't stick a candle in a gun. I would. And then I'd say, who got, there's wax in my gun. I get in trouble for it. It sounds like something a child would, I need it, Papa. A man on radio said you can stick a candle in a gun. You ruined my gun. I don't know if it ruins guns or not to stick wax in them. How do I feel about candlesticks? Control, like let's say we don't have candlestick control. Somebody's saying that somewhere. Oh, Lord. Let's name all the weapons in Clue, can you? I can't, and I'm going to now. Gun, rope, candlestick, lead pipe, wrench, Scotty dog, iron, Homer Simpson, pink wedge. Am I right? There's a car with little pegs in it that you get at like a restaurant. Say, can you solve this intelligence puzzle? I can't. I can never do that. I like to bring my own, I'll bring my own golf ball on those golf tee puzzles, and I'll put it on one, and I'll go, ah, da-da, like that. And people go, what are you doing? I go, I'm solving it my own way. Why do I have to solve, why do I have to jump the pieces or something? Why can't I make a smiley face? Why can't a demonstration of my intelligence be that I don't touch it, that I sit here in the entire meal having a conversation without touching this simpleton thing? That's what I say. I don't need to be tested and brought. The internet wants to do that all the time, too. Test and see something. All right, what do I do? Take these, answer these questions. You'll see something about yourself. Listen, I'm me. I know me already. There's not a stranger comes up to you. It's like that's kind of carnival-like. Say, come on, I'll guess something about you. All right, you're gullible. Oh, you're right. So I turn to myself and the privacy of my own, privacy. And I'll read a book and that'll give me some insight because I think Stendhal has taught me more than a carnival has about guessing your age. Not really. There I'm confused again. That's because I'm fixated on this storefront. I want to start. I want to be responsible. I want to have a business. Say, well, if it was a house of worship, it wouldn't be a business. I know, but if we just open on one day, Saturday or Sunday or whatever, what are we going to do the rest of the time for money? So we're going to have to do something in there, have a little shop. So what is it? So what's the rent? It's $1,000. $1,000? That's it? We could swing that for part of a day. Where are we going to get the money to open a business? How do you get money to open? You got to borrow it. I don't want to borrow it. Then you can't start a business. So I can't make money without money. No, you need money. Can I sell apples on the corner? No, it's illegal. So I can't make it. No, you cannot make money until you have a certain amount of money. And then you're allowed to start making money. I see. So you must borrow that money from somebody who will charge you money for the money. All right. Then you may start to make money as you give money to the money, money. Money, 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 money. Money, 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 money. Then you turn into Joel Gray and your head explodes. That's why I can't do business. And it's why most people become, not servants, what do you call them, employees. Because they say, I don't have any money. So how am I going to start my own business? Well, I'll go to work for somebody else on their farm, and then I'll murder them and take the deed. See what you learn from novels, and if it's a time in history, there's, it's pretty rural. Nobody's going to catch on. What I've done a lot of times is gone back in history and take someone's place, because this doesn't happen very often. But sometimes my time machine will land on somebody, like Wizard of Oz. And I'll come out and I'll go, oh, look at those wonderful boots. Oh, no. Oh, no. And you'll say, you got to be Shorty Brown now because you killed Shorty Brown with your time house. So I'll put on the boots and I'll have to live out his entire life. This takes ages, ages and ages and ages. I have to do this all the time. You hear me every week, but between every week is like, sometimes 40, 50 years for me. It's getting tiresome. Are you an eternal being, Hardy White? I'm whatever I say I am, aren't I? Is everything a lie? No, not things you can prove scientifically. This is why I'm going back to school to be a scientist. I know. It's not possible. Isn't that terrible? Say, it could be. It isn't. It could be. You can do whatever you want. No. Within reason. Everything is a depends. Not the diaper. But let me tell you, everything depends. Like, you can be anything you want, 18-year-old. But 55-year-old, I don't know. There's some things you're going to have to rule out. Like, I don't know if you could be a doctor. I remember that Richard Evans Simmons, I don't know if that's a different one. He said, I want to be a doctor. And I think he went back to school briefly at Phoenix University or one. And I don't think he got very far because it's very difficult. And after a certain age, you're like, and especially if you already have money, you think, I'm going to watch my big screen TV. Why do I have to study like this? I'm getting a headache. If you've already arrived at the finish line, it's tough to get worked up. It's tough to get motivated. But let me tell you, you got all the time in the world and no time at all. Because it's, you know, if you're sitting around waiting for death, it takes forever. Let's say you say, oh, I'm old and I want to go out. There's a movie like this. Go out for Sky Burial. And you lay there and you lay there. You go, man, it's not, death is not coming. This is taking forever. I think I'll get up and walk around. Because it's all relative, isn't it? So how do we spend our hours? I think we should spend some of them together. Oh, but not too much time. That's another thing. Too much togetherness. Well, sometimes, Hardy, there's not enough space. We can't be alone. You'll see that the Japanese have solved this with the coffin hotels. They got these little hotels say, see, people would rather be in a coffin-sized room alone than in a big auditorium full of cots. You know, even though it's good to be together, nobody, and you couldn't be possibly be lonely in a big one-room cot-filled refugee situation. That's when you say, I need to be alone. So sometimes being alone is necessary. And we sense that in ourselves. I need some, they call it me time. Or metime. Whatever, I don't know how to pronounce it. Metime. So I need to be by myself. Especially because I have some personal things that I like, want to do. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody would understand. I just feel more comfortable this way. And sometimes we want to share and we want to be with people. And that is the nature of our species because we were once a type of parasitic wasp, the human species. You say, no, that's not possible. Look, science has a place. You know what I did also? I know this is kind of off. I want you to hear something because I want to demonstrate through Foley. What's Foley? He's a fella from Kids in the Hall. And he doesn't sound like he looks. And so in the movies, sometimes the effects you have, like, oh, it's a snapping fingers, but it's not. It's a human jaw being crushed with a hammer. And like, right? What's that? That sounds like a tape measure, but I'm just rubbing toothpaste on a comb. Isn't that something? So, and the reason they do that is because the actual sound sometimes doesn't sound actually like the thing they want it to in actuality. And so they have to have something different, a sound effects. A little bit, I've learned this a lot from TV, because for some reason they give away their secrets. They're like magicians who want you to know because it doesn't make the magic any less special. It sort of adds to it. You say, wow, now I can't not hear the fact that most of these effects are somebody slapping meat. And it's not somebody walking in a field. It's a professional meat slapper that they have, a Foley artist. And I've done sound effects on the show before, like drinking coffee. That really was me drinking coffee. But when I want to do like my, I hit my tooth sound effect on the coffee cup. I don't really hit my tooth because I could break it off. I wonder what a good tooth breaking off sound effect is. That's an awful, awful thing to think about. But you know, someone somewhere has just had this experience. That's why I want to reach out my arms. I want them to grow long, look like a Stretch doll, Stretch Armstrong, or one of them, who reached the moon. If he had gone to the moon, he could just stay here. Say, where are you doing? I'm reaching for the moon. I'll be there in a minute. You want anything off of it? You're going to just stand here and talk to me. I'll stand here and talk to you, and my arm is going to grow impossibly long up to the moon, and I'm feeling, all right, I'm feeling around on it now. And, asteroid just hit me in the elbow and severed my arm. But I thought it was stretchy. It depends on the heat factor, because it's rubber. You can burn right through it. No man is made of rubber. Are they completely? Some of us have rubber parts. I'm sure we do, because there's those of us who would lose a limb or something, and these marvelous artists who now can reconstruct the body like that. There's so much, and we're growing organs now In the future, people will grow organs in their gardens. Say, yeah, I got some hot peppers and some noses and some stuff. They grew an ear on a mouse's head or something. It looked great. I don't have a joke for it or anything. It's just the ear is growing right on the mouse. And then they sewed it on the fella's head. I guess they cut the mouse off. I don't know how they did that. So, no, I can't bear doing it. I'm going to keep the mice on. Sew the ear on me, but I'm going to keep the mice attached. And it's going to be my little friend. And just be like Master Blaster relationship. Where the mouse is part of me now. We're inextricably linked. Do you know, if you've done your genealogy, you know that we're all descended from Genghis Khan, like I said last week. But if you do your genealogy, you realize that you just, a couple generations back, you've got like a gazillion people. Did you know that? So, for instance, if you were to go to five generations back, like your third great-grandparents, you got 32 people. If you go 10 generations back, you got like 1,000 people. If you go 20 generations back, your 18th great-grandparents, you got over 1 million people. Did you know this? If you went, this is no exaggeration, if you went 30 generations back, all right, you've got a billion people. Isn't that insane? 40 generations, a trillion. How could there be? It wasn't a trillion people. Well, now there's that. See, now they're not different people. There's some repetition. Not inbreeding, really. That's when it gets closer to you. But back there, we all share a lot of our ancestors share the same parents and great-grandparents and everything like that. We are all so mixed. We're all related. Well, I don't even like my mother. So it doesn't matter. Why does it matter we're related? Sometimes that argument doesn't work for people saying we're all family because they don't like their family. See, it's not enough just to be related by blood, isn't it? That doesn't convince anybody of anything. Say we're all family. Yeah, I hate my family. That doesn't help me at all. That doesn't make me feel part of anything at all. Say, what are we one of? This is what I say then to that. I say, I have no idea what it takes. I can't always relate to other people. It usually takes some pleasure. You know, we're all laughing or joking, or I feel like somebody likes me. It's something ineffable. It doesn't come naturally all the time. You can love or hate anybody depending on what the behavior is, what the context is. You got to find reasons to love. You got to find reasons to not to hate. That's what I believe. You got to look out there and you got to say, what am I going to overlook and what am I going to look at and how am I going to behave that brings out the best in you? People can pick up on other people's emotions, you know. It's like smelling fear. I was worried when I was meeting a horse the other day. I was like, oh, this horse is going to smell my fear. And it's not that they smell your fear, but I could be acting all jerky fearful. And if I do, the horse is like, what's up with this guy? He's acting kind of suspicious. Why is he afraid of me? Because the horse probably doesn't think he's very threatening. I'm just a horsey horse. This fella must be, maybe he's going to hurt me. So I tried to relax. And I was talking to a horse. And I said, oh, you're my friend. You're my girlfriend. I love you. Oh, and she started nuzzling me and everything like that. And she wouldn't start following me around. Wouldn't let me go. And I made a friend. I made a horse friend. And I felt closer to that horse then that we had just met. So it wasn't going to happen. But I felt close to that horse than a lot of people that when you meet them, you don't like. I had somebody waving a gun at me from the other side of the fence. I'm loving this horse. Some crazy person who didn't like me. He didn't fire the gun at me, but he's clearly saying, I hate you. Isn't that interesting? This horse showing it its love for me. And on the other side of the fence, another man with a long white beard, just like mine. It could have been me. Maybe it was my reflection over there. How could I possibly be waving a gun at myself like that? I need to at least not be my own enemy. Make friends with yourself. How do you make friends with yourself? how to make friends with yourself. Now, this is something that you should do alone because nobody wants to watch you making friends with yourself. But I'd say it means spending some time in your head and banishing all kinds of voices that are negative. So you're alone now. You don't have to get beat up or take the abuse. It's just you. So a lot of people don't understand that. And when they're alone, they go, you idiot, Hardy. Who wants to be alone with that jerk? I don't want to be alone with anybody calling me an idiot constantly. I don't want to be alone with anybody who's not like flattering me and laughing at my jokes. So why can't that be me? It doesn't make you stuck up to not be a masochist. Oh, that bears repeating, doesn't it? What did I say? I wish I could remember. That's the thing. Say, how do I know that you're telling me the truth, Hardy, if you don't even know what's coming out of your mouth? Well, I feel like if I think about it, that I'm going to edit it to make it sound better than it is, and then I might accidentally block out the truth. You don't want to do that. If you take it, they make movies today. Did you know that? I haven't been to any because I don't understand them. They're too fast. They move too fast now. There's too many elements. As I get older, I can't even go to a restaurant where the menu's too busy. I did the other day. I go, I can't figure this out. I went to some restaurant where you got to do like make your own stuff. They bring the menu. I said, what do you do? Said, well, we give you a bowl, and then you assemble all the ingredients you want in different ways and do a recipe, and then. Block out the truth. You don't want to do that. If you take it, they make movies today. Did you know that? I haven't been to any because I don't understand them. They're too fast. They move too fast now. There's too many elements. As I get older, I can't even go to a restaurant where the menu's too busy. I did the other day. I go, I can't figure this out. I went to some restaurant where you got to do like make your own stuff. We give you a bowl, and then you assemble all the ingredients you want in different ways. Eat that, and you, because they go to, they put on a little show because they expect you're watching it. Could you imagine not? Why isn't that crazy? Someone's writing these down. It's like, Hardy's just, this would be a great idea for this movie. That would be awful. Good ideas. I love when bad ideas see the light of day. It doesn't happen very often. Sometimes it takes a lot of group effort. Sometimes bad ideas are made that way by tinkering with them. You know, five blind men find an elephant, and they say, all right, so far I like what I see. But instead of the flat like a pancake ears, let's make them round like a trunk. Anyway, the moral is, after a while, it's not an elephant anymore because they've messed with it so bad. Or it's an elephant, but it's facing the other way. So I'll tell you what, sometimes you got to have confidence that you don't need to change something. And I don't know what that means. You do if you're soiled, if your clothes are soiled or something like that, change it. Now, what are you going to wear to my new church, my new storefront church? I'm worried about this. And what are we going to do during the day? I imagine we just sit there drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes, but let's say you don't. I don't smoke anything. I like when people say that. I don't smoke cigarettes. I go, what, like crack then? So I don't, so what are we going to do to bide our time? That's why I think we should be selling something. But I can't think of anything like little curios or something or candles. People never come in and buy enough of that. Maybe we should sell one very expensive item. So if we need $1,000 a month in our business, let's get two $500 items. And just hope like heck that we get two customers to come in and buy them every month. I don't see how that's going to work. So I guess maybe a bag of that coffee that cats poop. That's expansive. We could have a bottle of a couple. I know we'll have a bottle of Pappy. Somebody might buy that. Some black market Pappy. I honestly don't know. Because it's nice to have them browse. Come in, browse. Say, welcome to my shop. Please feel free to look around. Those wonderful smells you smell are artificial strawberry flavor and everything. We'll be happy to give you the recipes if you can make the esters. Esters. I know. It's a lady's name. Some things, life has a lot of overlap like that. You can creatively stimulate your mind with homophones. Did you know that? So you say, Esther. Aunt, you think you aunt, then you think Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. And then you think Son is also like a star. So smell star is your, that's how you figure out your Indian name. One of my ancestors was captured by the Mohawk Indians in Pennsylvania or whereabouts or something. And they took him in and they made him run the gauntlet. What does that mean? Well, they spanked him or something. I don't know if it was, it might have been a fraternity. I thought it was the Indians, but who knows? But they made him run this gauntlet. And then he said, oh, you're going to kill me? And they said, no, we do that to everybody. Don't worry about it. You come live with us. And he said, oh, I'll get to live with you. I would just like running with wolves or everything, like with the movie with Kevin. What's his name? And so they changed his Indian name to Kevin. And from then on, he was known as that. And they took him and they took him a purification ceremony, which is a lot like baptism. And two squaws took him into the water. And he thought they were going to drown him. But they weren't. They were just going to dunk him under. And when he comes up, he was one of them. And they said, you are now one of us, even though you're weak and white and awful and smell. And he said, thank you. But see what they've done, and they didn't do anything special to him. Just in their minds, they had made him reborn. So to become part of people, you don't have to be related to anybody. We are related because we say we are. We are related because we've made a pact with one another that you're all right, you can come and go as you please here. I think that's what it means to be family. You can be genetically related, doesn't mean anything. We are related when we feel the same things, when we have the same values. Let's be a family. Let's cut out all this bunk about bunk and junk. Let's be a family. Let's all be crazy. I want to be not a crazy uncle, but a crazy adopted person who's not related, who lives with us. And you say, I'm not even sure who he is. He might be my grandmother's cousin, but he's been here forever. It doesn't have to be blood, like I said, you know? So I want to do this. I'm going to pour water on my head to demonstrate that I'm your friend. No, that's not what I'm going to do. Some kind of symbolic purification ceremony that I'd be reborn as from a mikveh. A mikveh is a Jewish ritual bath. And they do that. You go in, float like it's a womb, and then you come up and you go, I'm different. And they look at you and say, who are you? And the mikveh lady will mess with you like that. And you go, no, I'm kidding. You're the same Shlomo who went in. That's Solomon. If you didn't know that, the name Shlomo is Solomon. What a good name. That's wise. What wise. Everyone named Solomon is wise, aren't they? No. What's your name mean, Hardy? Well, it means hardy. Isn't that interesting? A lot of people name like that. Like if name is Dumpling, it just means dumpling. You're thinking of names that maybe have a Latin or a foreign origin. I don't know with that. So what is your name? It's Kevin. I don't know what Kevin means. Of the Kev, which is a place. Who knows? We don't. Well, we do know. Someone does know, and they're yelling at the radio right now. Let me tell you, friends, you don't need to yell at me. I can hear your hearts. Ah, we are not that different, are we, you and I? And you saying, I hope we are, but we're not. We're not all feeling the same thing either, maybe. That's hard to say. I have no way of knowing whether your pain or pleasure is the same or similar to mine. I really don't, and I can't tell just by your reaction. You know what I'm saying? So if I cut your finger off and you scream, is it the same quality scream as I would make? Is it the same amount of pain as I would have? How much of it is fear? You can't see, but I'm actually, every time I say that, I'm pretending to chop my finger off. I don't need to do that because it's radio. but I do it for you. I make hand gestures, even though you don't see them, because I know they're there. It's like when they have period costumes in movies. A lot of times, I'm going to give you authentic underwear. Just because you'll know you're wearing it, so you'll feel more like the character. Because if you're wearing jockey shorts, you won't feel like Chateaubriand. Oh, I could go for some Chateaubriand. I meant the person. Oh, you're making something about the French Revolution. I am. It's my new movie, and you're in it. I'm casting you as my fellow man. I'm casting you as my friend. I'm casting you as my compatriot. I'm casting you as my family. I can't tell that you're not. I might be meeting people on the street who are my distant cousins. And they look at me and I look at them. And I see something in their eye that says, yes, you were related to that side of the family that has alcoholism. And they go, what? Like that. I know that they're... Some of you go to certain parts of the country. You may not even know where some of your ancestors are from, you know, because some family myths are just that.
So, yes, we're Scotch-Irish bromide or something. I don't... What? Oh, yeah, mother on my mother's side.
You've got so many ancestors, you don't even know where they're from. And some people don't even know who their grandparents, great-grandparents are. How about that? Maybe that's good. Because some people keep track of their ancestors, try to gain something from them.
Oh, yes, I am a Smith going back 10 generations.
So how about that?
Oh, yes. And,
Is there any money?
No. But I have a lot of the Smith genes.
Like what? Like maple syrup urine disease?
Well, yes.
I mean, you know, a lot of things of what you inherit are genetic flaws and everything you don't necessarily want. So I try to inherit ideas that I find useful, that I find pleasurable. I try to pick my own family. I want you in my family of man. I pick my own community by moving to a place that has values like I have. What are they? Certain kind of coffee and certain kind of fashions. Like that. I don't know. I drive around, see people pick communities like that. So I felt really at home there because they have a coffee shop where you can trade books or something. That is something I like. Well, I don't know. You know, that all sounds like people like me. I'm trying to maybe meet some people who are not like me and find maybe I've been missing out on something. And I try not to judge or anything. I go in, like I went into a place and there's a human head trophy hanging on the wall. And I say, well, you know, that might be problematic, but I'm going to hear them out. Maybe they got something to say. So I try not to say if somebody's got another culture, even if it's violent, even if I think, oh, that's morally wrong or something like that. Lord, come on, I at least hear them out. I don't try to jump judge. Because who knows? Maybe I'm the idiot. Ba-dum-bump. What was that? I want, every time I do say something meaningful, I wish there was a sting, like that, a little, to let you know that I had said something pithy. Got to be careful with that word, pith. They have whole helmets. Pith helmets. I know. Stop saying it. You're pushing it, Hardy. I know. It's because I'm naughty. I wasn't allowed to say, I don't know about you, but I wasn't allowed to say any curse words when I was young. My mother, and I'd say, but mama, you're playing that Blowfly record. And she's like, shut up. That's my business. But we still had this rule. They say, oh, you can't say, don't say anything. Because you don't know who you're going to offend. That's the thing. Say, well, what's wrong with the F word? Well, you don't know what kind of impact it might have on people. Words have power. Words have great power. Like buffoon. That buffoon can power. I've seen things, whole machines powered with the word buffoon. You go, well, that doesn't mean anything in my culture. Well, it might. You know, it could. Who knows? Well, I didn't really want to say any words that really are those kind of words. A lot of people do that to shock. And I've never been that person who wants to go on the radio and shock people or make them angry. What's the point? I feel that they're doing that themselves just fine. I think the world does that just fine, shocks and makes people angry. What are you trying to do, Hardy? I'm trying to make people less. I'm trying to calm them down.
I'm trying to chill them out because I think that we've gotten everybody a little too riled up. And I would just like everybody to rewind and back off for a minute and sit down and go to my new church, my new non-religious, non-denominational storefront church in which I serve little candies and what have you. And we have drinks sometimes, some chai. Some weeks it's chai. What we should probably do is have themes and say it's a different cultural theme or something like that. One Sunday we just ate Thai food. It was delightful. And we had a little lecture and say, well, what you're describing, Hardy, is Unitarianism. It's close. Mine's a little different. And I think also, I know this is crazy, but we're taking a fun drive because I really want a Lucite lectern. I learned that out of my friends, a rabbi, said, we're trying to raise money for a Lucite Torah stand. I go, that's an awesome idea. I want one. And he says, well, they have regular kind of lecterns and stuff. I go, all right, but what if I get a scroll or something? Who knows what I'm going to say? You know what? This week, Megillah of Esther. I'm just going to I love the scroll. I would hold it up like that, like I'm reading a proclamation, and I'd say, hear ye, that'd be fun. So if you're going to make a religion from scratch, let's put some good stuff in it. You'll notice that I immediately thought of food. That was the first thing I wanted in my religion, is good snacks, followed by something nice to do, a good ritual. What's something fun to play with? Well, like I said, I could make those tiny little tape measures, right? That have you can put ads on them and everything. They're just a little novelty and put them on your keychain. That's hard to make sacred. I'm going to have to think about it. But I know they'll be singing. Everybody likes to sing along. We'd have like a Mike Dabo night or something like that. So, we're just going to sing, you know, Handbags, Glad Rags is the hymn. Turn to your hymnal, which looks like a pop fake book. Do they have those anymore? No, because people don't play any music. They don't play it themselves so much, do they? Y'all taking piano? People used to be forced to take piano lessons, and I think that was beautiful. There's just not enough people who can sit down at a party and say, let's gather around the piano and sing drunken songs together. Does that happen at your place? Or people just put on music and they yell in the corner? I used to live in this neighborhood. What? I used to live in this. That's not my idea. I don't like. That's not, to me, a party. Also, I like party to be at a large estate so I can walk out on the balcony or into the gardens with a friend sipping a martini and say, I just had to get away from the crowd for a minute. That's me sipping the drink again more fully. And then you say, I'm going back in. Okay, I need some alone time anyway. I'll come out here and think. I wonder what it's all about. And then when you start thinking that, you should be immediately distracted because thought is not going to take you anywhere. Yeah, I try not to think thoughts like that. Like, what's it all about? What's the meaning of life? I try to think something more specific. Like, what's the fried liver attack in chess or something? Because I know it's like once I get out of here, I'm all over Google. And I'm going to find that out. But there's some things, you know, that just probably aren't worth thinking about. I mean, if the answer pops up in the course of doing something else, that's beautiful. But I wouldn't start thinking about it. You'll hurt your brain. You'll hurt it. A lot of it's just like holding your breath or something. Don't do that. Just move on. Try to experience. Go help somebody. Go help the old lady pick something up. And what? Why? Why is that? Will I make the world a better place? Well, I tell you, it'll make you feel happy. And if you feel happy, you're less likely to be a jerk, and you're less likely to pass on bad vibes. So it really isn't for the old lady. It's really for you, so you won't be a jerk. I have some harsher words I wanted to say, but I wasn't sure if they were radio friendly. But that's what it's got to be about, is that you got to curb your anxiousness and stop being an ass and be a beautiful horsey who just wants to nuzzle and and love on you. That's what you got to be. Be a helpful horse. You can do it. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna ride you. That means to just make sure you do it. Not I'm going to physically get on you. I don't do that. That's scary to me. I'd love to be up there in a horse looking like Ronald Reagan or what's the other one with a hat. But that's not me. I'm just a ground walker, as were my ancestors. Maybe that's why horses scare me a little bit, because I think, boy, these things used to run me down, me and my people. Get back to your village, peasant. I think in another life, I was a peasant, and before that, a peasant. But in my real world, my ancestors were peasants. I'm sure there's a king back there, where kings can't keep it in their pants, so they're probably... And remember, it was successful people, so there's people starving and everything. They didn't do very well. I know for a fact I'm a descendant of many, many farmers. People have been farming for a long time. They stopped farming and gave up and just went to work at insurance companies and things. But originally, they were farming. And I've been looking at my ancestors. Some of them, the census will say, like at their farmers, like what they had. So I've been looking like, oh, look, they had 3 cows and a couple pigs and just like a proper farm. And I wish I could visit my ancestors. Well, use your time machine. Look, man, you take a great risk when you go back and you meet your own ancestors, though. I am not willing to do that. I could come back with blue eyes or something. I don't want to do that. I don't know much about genetics, but I do know that that means that you're evil. No, eye color is... I think that a lot of kids in psychology class is going to get the wrong impressions when they do that. Let's do the blue-eyed people. Let's discriminate against the blue-eyed people to show you what discrimination is. Maybe they'll get the wrong impression. You know, walk away thinking, well, yeah, I've always thought that about blue-eyed people, but was afraid to say. And then those of you have contacts in, you don't know what. I want people who can have face contacts, change the color of their face. So, oh, you look like you're Pacific Islander. No, I'm wearing a face contact. Oh, look at that now. It's different. Oh, and your nose is a different size. People don't wear a mask, though, do they? And so we look at faces and we always want to know where they're from. What nationality are you? Who are you from? Who are your parentage? A lot of times people are adopted and everything like that. Because I got to tell you, your parentage, it doesn't make that much of a difference, you know? Where you're raised and everything makes a difference. You know, when you see people of other ethnicities, like maybe with a southern accent, say, oh, look at that Chinese-looking fella talking like this. Yes, because he's my neighbor. And if we were both born here and we both went to school the same way, well, now why would we not talk the same? So I think put away your preconceptions. Take it. Take your preconceptions. Cut them up. Eat them, poop them out, bury the poo, move on, sell the house, get away, go to a next town, change your identity, start wearing glasses, grow a mustache, shave it off, grow old, tell everybody you're Whitey Bulger, then say, no, I was lying, see, they caught him, and everybody has a good laugh. That's what you should do. But what you shouldn't do is not be you and not realize that you're an individual. And then second thing, you're a human being, and everything in between is just nonsense. I think that's my opinion. So, you know, aren't you proud of your ancestors? I don't even know them. I don't know them. You know, I barely know my grandparents. I don't know what was in their head necessarily. So I'm going to go on a lot of my experience, and I'm going to be gentle to people. Now, that doesn't mean ignore history. Never ignore history. You can't be a fool. You can't be a fool and say that people weren't discriminated against or aren't people that aren't hated for their skin color. That's ridiculous. You must open your eyes and see what other people are going through. It didn't just start 10 minutes ago. You know, so your assignment for this week is I want you to do all the problems in the back of the book, except for problem 6. We'll discuss that in class because there might be a mistake in it. Also, I want you to all have to wash your bottoms. Also, I would like you to do a diorama of James and the Giant Peach using Sculpey. Now, oh, that's too much work. In my day, children were required to write and publish an entire text in Latin. in a week, and you'd have to bind it yourself. You have to bind the book, you'd print it, you'd have to find out how to make a printing press. Now, a lot of the kids whose parents had printing presses and everything, it wasn't fair. But me, I'm there, oh, I'm screwing, typesetting one letter at a time in Latin, trying to get this book out. No, that's actually before my time. We just wrote big fat letters on fat line paper. But it was fluorescent. When I was in school, in elementary school, you could get notebook paper in fluorescent colors. Honest to God, you could. Yellow or pink. And it was big. It was a big deal. I'd say, oh, I got my Partridge Family book cover. Because the Partridge Family album, the one with the dates on, the birth dates, you got a book cover. And I remember using, I said, I'm going to use this on my book. I don't remember what book. Social, everything. So we just only did social studies. I don't even know what that means now. But I'm putting on my social studies book. And quiz me. Quiz me on Danny's birthday. I don't know what I forgot already. One of them is August. But you miss those days? Now, people count on you missing those days. And so they want to sell you things, don't they? And when I mention things like that are nostalgic, you're titillated. Not titillated. What's the word? Massively aroused. No, that's not it either. That's too much. Amused. Mildly amused. But it is sort of comforting. You say, oh, I remember how that, I can summon that feeling again. Thank you, Hardy, for reminding me. Remember what like really wet pants felt like after you'd pee yourself at school? No, that's not nostalgic. Now you've made a mistake. Oh, it's difficult. I forget. It's just not summoning up the past, right? It has to be actually a happy memory. That's something that you learn as you get older. Friends, the only reason we're here together, what have you said today? I've listened to your radio show for the first time, and I don't understand it. You don't seem to be saying anything. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you why. Because I'm not your superior. I don't know more than you. I'm simply a pink lady. I'm a pink lady visiting you in the hospital of life's challenges, where you now currently reside. You may not think you need a magazine or ice chips, but you might. And so I come in periodically to check on you without qualifications. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a nurse practitioner. I'm not a phlebotomist. I'm not a guy who works in the pharmacy so he can surreptitiously steal drugs to feed his habit. I'm not him. I'm a pink lady. I'm a candy striper. I'm just coming to ask you if you need anything. Can I get you a nurse? Can I get you a magazine? Can I get you something to bide your time? Can I get you something to make your stay easier? And I think that sometimes that magazine is a story. Those ice chips are just a little laugh that we can have together. And that's what counts. Fight that loneliness. But now, see, I'm going to leave you alone to be with the person who ultimately cares the most about you, and that is you. And if that isn't the case, make it so, number 8. You are number 6. You are a combination of number 2 and 69 or something. I don't know. That's from The Prisoner. I like to quote those old shows. You, what are you listening to? Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. And you're listening to it on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org or 91.9 in blessed Rockland County. And I hope that we get to be together again next week. Go out there and make it a good one, my friend. Spread some joy. Spread some joy on the bread of life. And then put it on the sand, smush it down a little bit, panini style. I thank you, and I'll see you again next week.
Folks, continuing the theme today, we're having a little bit more technical difficulties, so if you would bear with me for 1 second, I will throw something on so we don't have dead air, and then I'll figure out exactly why Sinner's Crossroads does not want to play for me right now. Okay, guys, we should be back up and running momentarily. Thank you.
the man in my soul. That keeps me free from sin. Yes, my whole life has changed since Jesus moved in. He tells me to keep my feet right in the road, and He will bear my burdens, the heavy load. Oh yeah, yes, He's talking about Jesus, the man who conquered the grave. He fights the blind, made old death behave. Walk, talk, and live with the men. Thanks be to God. Be free from sin. I'm going to put on the whole armor and take my place. Stay on bending knees to see my